All right, so I'll now open the hearing on LD 1844. LD 1844 is an act to provide for special fees for certain aquaculture lease applications and to amend other provisions in the laws governing aquaculture leases. And that's going to be presented by Representative McCray. Our co-chair, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Miramont, esteemed colleagues of the Marine Resources Committee, I'm Jay McCrite, representing House District 51, Harpswell, West Bath, East Brunswick. Today I bring before you LD 1844, the title was just read, a bill I present for the department. This bill proposal authorizes the Department of Marine Resources to designate certain research and aquaculture lease applications as subject to special fees based on their size, unique character, and complexity of the application. Because these factors create significantly higher costs in addressing such applications, the Commissioner of DMR may designate such an application as subject to special fees. This designation This designation is to be made at or prior to the time the application is deemed complete. This designation may not be based solely on likelihood of public controversy, and the special fees cannot exceed $250,000. The applicant would be billed for these fees quarterly, and all must be paid before the lease is issued. The bill specifies that all staff of DMR, IF&W, Agriculture, Conservation and Forestry, and DEP who have worked on the application may submit quarterly reports to the Commissioner of Marine Resources, detailing time and expenses involved. The processing fees will be distributed by the commissioner to each department incurring the costs in order to reimburse the actual costs to that specific department. The bill proposal also authorizes the department to hold an emergency aquaculture lease for shellfish without also having to hold a lease issued under Title 12, Section 6072 or 6072A, the sections addressing research and aquaculture leases for and limited purpose leases for commercial or scientific research. Finally, this proposal allows the commissioner to issue a marine organism aquaculture license for more than one calendar year, notwithstanding Section 6301, subsection 2, addressing lease expiration. Thank you for your attention. I'm happy to do my best to answer questions, but as the bill before me, I would refer you to the department. Thank you.
I am Deirdre Gilbert. I'm the Director of State Marine Policy at DMR and testifying on behalf of the department in support of LD 1844. As Representative McCrate referenced, this is a department bill and we are grateful to her for sponsoring it on our behalf. The department has proposed this legislation to accomplish three separate objectives pertaining to aquaculture leasing and licensing. First, the department is seeking the authority to subject certain aquaculture lease applications to special fees. This is modeled after an existing authority in the Department of Environmental Protection statutes in which certain permit applications, due to their size, complexity, or uniqueness, are subject to special fees in lieu of the flat permit fee, which currently cannot exceed $2,000. The department has simply modified this language to apply to aquaculture leases instead of DEP permits. This authority is intended for use in relatively rare occasions where the department is dealing with an application that is well beyond the bounds of a typical application in one of these regards. For that reason, the department would anticipate that the amount of staff time spent on such an application would be far in excess of an average lease. In those instances, the department would notify the applicant that their application would be subject to special fees and would track staff time spent on the application. Applicants would be billed quarterly and all fees would need to be paid before the lease could be issued. Like other application fees, these fees would go into the Aquaculture Management Fund and would provide additional resources that could be used to further improve the processing times of lease applications. Importantly, and consistent with the existing DEP statute, extensive public controversy alone would not make an application subject to special fees. The department presented this proposal to the Aquaculture Advisory Council at their meeting this past fall, and while there was input and questions, the council did not oppose the proposal. Recently, we have learned of an action alert by the Maine Aquaculture Association to generate opposition to the proposal, and we feel this is unfortunate as the aim of the proposal is to ensure that applicants who are submitting applications that are well beyond what is typical for Maine, and which therefore consume tremendous staff resources, cannot consume all the department resources to the detriment of all other lease applicants. Again, the department could use these funds to manage this workload to ensure that other proposals can also continue to move forward. Despite increases in staff capacity, it remains a very significant challenge to manage the workload of this division in the face of ever-increasing demand. Large, complicated, unique applications only exacerbate that problem. The second piece of the legislation, which is Section 4, would create an exception to the existing requirement that an applicant for an emergency lease be an existing leaseholder when that applicant is the department. Emergency aquaculture leases for shellfish are a tool to allow for the relocation of shellfish when the health and safety of those shellfish are threatened. During the summer of 2021, the department discussed scenarios where the potential for Vibrio could be a problem for growers. If there were to be an outbreak, the area must be closed, and there is no clear guidance, which would come from the FDA, on when it may be reopened. Because such a closure would apply to an entire river, many growers could be impacted. There would either need to be many emergency leases or a single lease held by an entity that was willing to take on the liability of such an exercise. The department and the University of Maine explored scenarios for the establishment of an emergency lease where multiple growers could move their product for the market onto a single emergency lease for a limited time. And there was interest in the department holding that lease and closely managing the movement of the product, but the existing law limits the eligibility for an emergency lease to leaseholders, which the department is not. The proposed change would allow the department to hold an emergency lease if future circumstances made it advisable to do so. Finally, the third provision in this legislation would allow the department to issue a land-based aquaculture license for a period longer than a single calendar year. Under existing law, all department licenses expire at the end of the calendar year unless another expiration date is provided in statute. If this change is authorized, the department would likely issue land-based aquaculture licenses concurrent with the discharge license that is issued by DEP. And with the committee's permission, an issue that has come to light since this bill was originally drafted is a lack of clarity in what is meant by the term suspended culture in the requirement for an individual to hold a lease in order to conduct aquaculture. And we are proposing the addition of a clarifying sentence to Section 6072 to specify that the suspended culture of marine organisms includes all forms of culture except for the bottom planting of a marine organism without the use of gear of any type. This clarification is important to the department's efforts to ensure that individuals are not conducting aquaculture off of lease sites. Thank you for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Director, and I'm sure Lynn has that comment from you, or taking notes, or both. Are there any questions of the Director? I see Representative Hepler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a quick question. Can you give us an example of what one of these especially complicated law, you know, even if it's, you know, it could just be theoretical, but I'm just trying to get a handle on what would qualify here.
Sure. Thank you, Representative Hepler. I'll give you two examples. Just when I spoke to DEP about their experience with this authority, I asked them kind of how frequently do you use it, and can you give me some examples of situations where this is applied? And it is very infrequent. As somebody, you know, who's lived in Maine for a long time, all of the examples that DEP gave me were things that I vividly remember living through as just a citizen of Maine. Like, they are projects that the public is widely aware of because they are very big and beyond what you would expect to be the case. So just an example for DEP recently where this has come up is the CMP corridor is something where they have used special fees. In the department's within the realm of the aquaculture program, obviously this law is not proposed to apply to applications that are already accepted, but I think if I'm sure you have all heard that there is a very unusual or a application that is beyond what we have typically dealt with up in Frenchman's Bay, the American Aquafarms Project. And I think many of the criteria of that or attributes of that project, including kind of the technology they are using, which is something we have not previously used in Maine, would make that at least subject to evaluation for this, but it's that type of project that we would anticipate spending much more staff time on than things we have dealt with before.
Okay, thank you. Representative Crafts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Director Gilbert. A question around defining the language in the bill says size, uniqueness, and complexity. How would that be defined? You know, what would be the sort of the process of defining that in a case versus just the regular application fee?
Thank you, Representative Crafts. That was, again, a question I had for DEP for the process that they used. As I understand, and they've been using this, just for clarity, they've been using it for over 10 years at least, or at least 10 years without any amendments, because their statute hasn't changed in that amount of time. My sense is that there is not a formalized process, but an agency can certainly tell upon receipt of an application when something is beyond the bounds of what they have been dealing with and is likely to take significantly more staff time than anything else they typically deal with. When we presented this to the Aquaculture Advisory Council, they had some similar questions about, like, you know, you need to define the size, you need to define what you mean by complexity. Again, DEP hasn't done that, and I honestly don't know how you would do it. I don't know how you could define what level of complexity would cause the department to move in this direction. So I think if you try to set up criteria, the incentive will be for companies to kind of operate below that criteria to avoid triggering this. And instead, I think at least at the outset, the department is asking that you would trust that we would use this responsibly, with the understanding that if we're applying it in ways that don't make sense, it's probably not going to last very long. Like, I would expect that the legislature would revisit that authority if they felt like we were using it in ways that were not consistent with what we're describing.
Okay.
May I follow up, Chair?
Oh, certainly.
And so what would be the process if an applicant wanted to contest? I mean, I understand, you know, $250,000 for a small business could be very significant. What would be the process for contesting that?
Sure. So just to be clear, the $250,000, that's not a figure that we would pick at the start of how much we're going to charge. We would literally be tracking the time that staff spent. So you'd only get to $250,000 if you literally consumed $250,000 worth of staff time. So I don't know how you would, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that that is commensurate with what a project actually requires. And that's the limit that DEP has set. Certainly an applicant could tell us that they don't agree that they should be subject to special fees, but there's no formal appeal process established in the statute where that could get overturned by somebody other than the department. All we could do is reevaluate the decision that we made.
Okay, and Representative Hutchins.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you've somewhat answered. I was thinking it's one of those things that an added fee shouldn't be a surprise. You say that, you know, your application to whoever it might be is going to trigger extra expenses, and you're going to tell them that up front. And there should be a way to have at least some parameters around it, I would think, or you could just keep delaying them forever. You know, so they, you know, they need a couple of parameters. One would be time, and one would be money. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hutchins. I guess the only thing I can say is that the way the statute is set up, we would be advising an applicant of those charges on a quarterly basis. So they would be aware of how much staff time they are using with that frequency. And if they wanted to change their mind about their application, or if it was something that wasn't going to be feasible for them to pay, they could certainly rethink what they had submitted. But I think the important thing is that we're not working on things for the sake of working on them to drive up somebody's fees. If we are charging them those fees, it is reflective of the staff time we are spending on their application.
Thank you. And what about the, if you're designating this right at the beginning, would they not get the benefit of what the department normally has to do for no charge before any extra fees would come in? Or would you still do whatever you'd normally do, realize that it was going to take a lot more work, and then say there will be special fees? Is that clear?
Senator Miramont, I'm not entirely sure what you're thinking of when you say what we normally do. This would be made, this determination would be made based on what the applicant submitted to us. So our assessment of what they provided, it wouldn't be post public hearing or post other phases of the leasing process. We would be evaluating the application on its face up front and making a determination whether, again, does this go well beyond the department's level of familiarity and comfort in what we typically deal with as regards aquaculture leases in terms of those attributes, the size, complexity, or uniqueness of what's being proposed.
Okay, but would every lease need some work done by the department? So is it like cookie cutter usually? It's just move some paperwork. You don't have to research anything. Or there's a little bit of research to be done for every lease. And even these that are designated as going to take special resources still get the benefit of the normal amount of work that you would do for any lease.
There are certain tasks that the department has to do irrespective, you know, the site visits that we do to the leases, as one example. We do that obviously for each standard lease application. Those do get to be more work based on the size of the area that needs to be evaluated. Other applicants get all of the department's work for the application fee. In this case, we are saying in lieu of the flat application fee, we're gonna charge you. So that it wouldn't be prorated to give them certain work for free. Once we kind of make a decision that this is how this is going to get evaluated, it would be whatever staff time the department spends on this application would get charged.
Okay, thank you. Representative McCrae.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Director Gilbert. I don't know, excuse me, just a minute. I don't know if you can answer this question, but, you know, looking at some of the testimony coming, it looks like people are concerned that this would be used to purposely drive up costs. And I saw this as going the opposite direction, actually, as you testified. I don't know that you can answer this, and maybe this is for the work session. Has DEP seen that kind of behavior where people would find some way to make life difficult for somebody trying to do something by arousing people to make it difficult?
Thank you, Representative McCrae. in my conversation with DEP, I did not get the perception that that's been an issue for them. As I said, it's used so rarely, and I think in situations that are demonstrably different than what DEP is typically dealing with, I just don't think it's actually been contested. I can certainly have more conversations with them and maybe bring back some additional examples for your work session. But I mean, I contacted them as we developed this idea because certainly DMR didn't want to replicate something that DEP was having problems with. If I had called them and they said, this is a giant headache, do not go down this road, that would have been very good information to have. And that's not the experience, or that's not the input they provided.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hepler.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, that was actually something that I was wondering about, either that, giving us some examples for the work session, or even having someone from DEP come and allay our concerns, or, you know, the concerns of the people who have been reaching out to us.
Thank you, Representative Hepler. We could certainly ask if they'd be able to help in that regard.
Great, thank you. Representative Fockingham, you put it back down. So I see no other hands. Okay, thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Okay. Sebastian Bell, I see your picture there. I have no other folks speaking for, so I'm moving to speaking against. And Sebastian Bell is the only one.
Good morning,
and
sir.
And I have one either for or against. They'll be next. And Sebastian, Mr. Bell, yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, Senator Miramont, Representative McCrae. Thank you very much. And members of the committee, thank you very much for being willing to listen to me this morning. My name is Sebastian Bell. I run the Maine Aquaculture Association. We represent the commercial growers in the state. I stand before you today to testify in opposition of LD 1844, an act to provide for special fees for certain aquaculture lease applications and to amend other provisions in the laws governing aquaculture leases. And I just want to start by saying that we do not oppose the last two provisions of the bill that would be from sections 4 and section 5, we support the special fees provision that we do oppose. I testify in opposition with reluctance, as we know that Representative McCrae's intentions are well-meaning and sincere, and I also recognize that the department's rationale for asking the representative to submit the bill is understandable. The current commissioner would, if given the authority proposed in the bill, use said authority in a judicious and fair manner. I would, however, respectfully remind the committee that the proposed statutory language would give any and all subsequent commissioners precedent-setting authority with relatively little limit or guidance on how it might be invoked. And so really what's driving our opposition today is not any particular project. I want to make that very clear at the beginning here. We're not opposing this bill because it might impact a particular project. We're opposing this bill for a series of fundamental reasons. LD 1844 will incentivize lease opponents to make lease applications as controversial as possible so that the cost to applicants is maximized. The proposed statutory language states that the commissioner may not decide to impose special fees on an application based solely on the likelihood of extensive public controversy. In other words, it cannot be the only reason for special fees, but it can be taken into account as part of the decision. That fact provides a strong incentive for lease opponents to artificially generate as much controversy as possible around a lease application. Ironically, the department's effort to recoup costs on controversial applications will actually provide a powerful tool to lease opponents and increase controversy. Opponents will use the special fee provision to increase cost to the applicant and will intentionally elevate controversy around applications that otherwise would not necessarily have been controversial. LD 1844 provides little guidance to a commissioner or an applicant for that matter as to what specifically would trigger the need for special fees. LD 1844 essentially leaves the decision to impose special fees up to the commissioner with little or no guidance or restrictions. The proposed language indicates an application, quote, likely to result in significantly greater cost to the department would qualify and establishes that controversy, size, uniqueness, complexity, and other factors may be considered. The language does not establish what these factors should be compared to as a baseline and how far out of variance they have to be in order to trigger special fees. The inclusion of, quote, other relevant factors means that the commissioner can use virtually anything to justify the imposition of special fees. As I said in my introduction, while I trust the current commissioner to be thoughtful and fair in his consideration of these trigger factors, the proposed language gives future commissioners enormous latitude to use special fees to discourage applications and deter investment. It also gives opponents to lease applications a tremendous incentive to place extreme political pressure on the governor and the commissioner to invoke the special fee requirement to increase an applicant's costs and discourage applications. A fee-for-service licensing business model does not necessarily fit resource management agencies very well. MAA recognizes that there may be lease applications that require more staff time and costs that can be offset by the current fee structure. This is certainly true of many other marine resource users as well. Indeed, if the cost of permitting and managing our commercial fisheries needed to be fully accounted for in license fees would soar and many existing fishermen would be unable to pay them. Maine has long recognized that funding natural resource management agencies through fee-for-service business models is a challenging and not sustainable in the long run. DMR's own sister agency had to move away from that type of business model after struggling for many years to generate enough revenue to pay for adequate resources to manage the state's wildlife. And in that case, I'm talking about IF&W. A fee for servicing licensing model will also have unintended consequences. Currently, a lease applicant pays a non-refundable application fee upfront before the application is processed. This fee is paid regardless of whether the lease is granted or rejected. Under the proposed language, the commissioner would decide that a special fee is necessary when an application is deemed complete, but before the size of the fee is determined. That determination would only occur after all staff involved in reviewing an application in all departments involved in the review had provided the commissioner with an accounting of their respective time and costs. In other words, both the commissioner and the applicant will not know the proposed cost of the application until after the application has been fully reviewed and a decision made. I recognize that Deirdre earlier acknowledged that they were going to do quarterly bills, and I think that certainly is helpful, but it doesn't solve the problem that an applicant still will not know what the total cost of that application would be until the review of the application is complete. Thus, the applicant will have no ability to predict the cost of going through the application. The proposal is essentially a blank check for not only DMR, but also DEP, IF&W, and Ag, Conservation, and Forestry. The unpredictability of the cost of an application will inherently cause potential applicants to be large companies who can bear the potential large fees. Equally of concern is that it will incentivize applicants to develop proposals and look for areas that are likely not to trigger special fees. And ironically, those proposals or areas may not be the best ones in terms of minimizing the risk of user conflict or environmental impact. In other words, if an applicant is choosing to apply for an area because they think it's not going to trigger special fees, it may or may not be the best area for them to apply with respect to potential environmental impact or social conflict. LD 1844 establishes a significant precedent that allows sister state agencies to bill DMR for the work they are required to do by statute. While the idea of cost recovery between state agencies is not new, it has never, to my knowledge, been invoked between state agencies with respect to marine resources. Imagine for a moment if the Department of Environmental Protection could bill DMR for the cost of reviewing the impacts of fisheries management plans on endangered species that they are required by statute to protect, say seabirds, for example. Imagine if the Department of Agriculture, Conservation and Forestry could bill DMR for their cost of administering, reviewing and approving nutrient management plans on farms designed to reduce water quality impacts to protect marine resources. State agencies routinely do what they are required to do by statute without passing costs on to sister agencies. LD 1844 establishes a fundamental precedent that may have broad implications beyond aquaculture. LD 1844 essentially turns DMR into a collection agency for its sister state agencies and will require significant administrative time from DMR, driving applicant costs up and increasing the department's workload. LD 1844 requires that DMR to administer and account for costs incurred by three other state agencies. The proposal also requires DMR to administer the distribution of fees they collect to those same sister agencies. This will inherently increase DMR's administrative costs and reduce staff's ability to focus on monitoring and management of the aquaculture sector. Significantly, any appeal by an applicant with respect to the cost being charged must be made not to the agency imposing them, DMR, but to the agency that has submitted the proposed fees to DMR. Thus, the appeal goes to an agency that has no authority to change the imposed fees. In addition, any costs associated with an appeal are added to the special fees, providing a strong disincentive for any appeal. In closing, LD 1844, while well-intentioned, establishes dangerous precedent, contains little or no restrictions on when or how a commissioner chooses to impose special fees, sends a strong negative message to any entrepreneur considering aquaculture as a way to diversify Maine's working waterfront, and incentivizes professional aquaculture opponents to artificially create controversy and opposition to lease applications. I strongly urge the committee to vote ought not to pass on LD 1844. Thank you for your patience with my long testimony, and I would be glad to answer any questions if you have them.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Any questions for Mr. Bell from the committee? I don't see any hands. And there, Representative Bloom.
Thank you. Hello, Sebastian. Nice to see you. I was reading one of the testimonies against it as well from Bill Mook, who said, you know, that there has to be, this is a very important aspect of our future fishermen to be able to have aquaculture licenses and to develop that whole program. Do you feel like the state should be investing some money in this and not have to have it all paid for? In other words, if there are some other problems, maybe we should be making an investment in these lease applications. What do you think?
Thank you, Representative Bloom, for your question. And I would start in my response by just noting that the association has repeatedly supported increases in application fees and rents. And we have also repeatedly gone to the Appropriations Committee and supported increased resources for the Department of Marine Resources. We have done that because we recognize that the department needs the resources to adequately manage our sector. And we are both willing to help pay for that through those fees and rents, as well as support the department by arguing for increased general funding going to the department. So I have to say it's a little ironic that given the users in the sector have repeatedly supported the department with respect to generating more revenue, we are now being asked to bear additional special fees. And I recognize that there is a challenge with especially complicated and large applications. I do worry that this particular suggestion or proposal will actually lead to only larger companies potentially submitting applications who can afford the special fee increases. That said, there's no question in my mind, and all of you, I think, know me very well, my passion, my determination is the working waterfronts of this state, and we need to develop tools to allow working waterfronts to survive in the face of change, both social change and environmental change and regulatory change. And aquaculture is one of those tools. So the short answer to your question is yes, we as a state should be investing in aquaculture proposals, not directly as in investing in the companies. We believe that entrepreneurs should incur risk and costs associated with those, but we should not impose or discriminate against aquaculture with special fees versus other marine resource users that don't have to support those kinds of fees.
Thank you for that clarification. Appreciate that.
Thanks. And also, what do you have any specific guidance on what fees can be used for what projects based on that?
You mean in terms of how to scale fees relative
to determine when they should be used?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And the short answer is I don't have any specific guidance. I think if the department went back to the Aquaculture Advisory Committee, who asked some fairly pointed questions about that, and had a discussion with the advisory committee, then in fact, there might be a possibility of coming to agreement over how to tackle that. And I recognize that the department's proposal tries hard to link increases in fees to what the actual costs are. And I respect that perspective. I think the challenge is that it's relatively easy, no insult intended to the current commissioner or his staff, but it's relatively easy for a department to run up costs, and particularly when it's not necessarily a department that the current commissioner has responsibility for. In other words, it's another state agency that the commissioner has no authority over.
Thank you. Representative Fockingham.
Thank you. Hello, Sebastian. I almost asked a question of Deirdre sort of along these lines, but I figured I'd throw it at you. So I see the conundrum here, because if the department has this aquaculture lease application that is so huge and they're going through the process, it's costing the department tens of thousands of dollars to process this application, and then later on that application fails, or the company folds up before they get to that point, or maybe they're just going through this long, elaborate lease process just to try to create something that they can sell down the road. And the department has incurred all these fees. I can sort of see where the department's issue is with incurring those state fees for someone that's just sort of playing games with them, or, you know, running this process out. But I also, my issue with this bill is I don't see where there's any criteria or threshold, and I could see at some point those justified fees getting leveled down lower and lower and lower until aquaculture leases that shouldn't be getting special fees are all of a sudden, you know, getting them. I don't really not sure what my question is, but do you see any room for balance there between, you know, those two things?
Great question, Representative Fockingham, and thank you so much. I think you really kind of got to the essence of the challenge here. You know, and just for the record, the state statutes have language in it that allows the department to disallow an application because they feel it's speculative. So there is anti-speculation language in the existing statutes. Now, I am not going to mislead anybody. I think that language can be challenging to enforce, and certainly I think from the association's perspective, we would be open to a discussion with the department about, are there ways to strengthen that language that might be helpful to the department and frankly to the sector? It doesn't benefit anybody to have speculators in the sector that are just looking to build something up and then sell it off. That's not helpful. And doesn't substantively, I think, help the state's working waterfronts face the challenges that they are facing. The flip side of, so that aside, the speculation piece aside, I think there probably is a place where there might be some balance there. The really big ones that are clearly kind of off the charts, maybe there's a way to establish some criteria around those. I am absolutely concerned about the second scenario that you articulate, which is that in particular, opponents will pressure the department to lower the threshold lower and lower and lower until it's starting to hit relatively small operations that are controversial, maybe complicated from a new gear technology. I'll give you an example. We have a pending application. I don't know if it's complete or not, but I think it is, that is using a new kind of floating oyster gear. You could make the argument, if you were an opponent to that proposal, that that's a complicated new technology and that special fees should be imposed. And I think that would be, if you combine that with whipping up local controversy in the community that that proposal is in, you probably might put the commissioner in a position where he or she felt as though they had to start to impose special fees. And yet that's a relatively small application. So I do think the issue you raise is a legitimate one. And I am also sensitive to Deirdre's point about, how do you establish criteria and how do they work? I think that's a fair question to ask. And again, I would suggest that maybe the department should go back to the advisory committee and have that discussion in a more thorough manner.
Thank you. Representative Thorne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Make sure I'm unmuted. It is my understanding that these are limited licenses, correct? Permits?
Limited in what sense? So each
lease, how many are issued?
Yes. So there are caps on the total acreage. There are conditions which are imposed on each lease. I'm not aware of any lease that has ever been issued without conditions on it. There are requirements often for multiple use. So there are a whole series of conditions that are imposed on the
app. Is it feasible that it could be those that are opposed to aquaculture could apply and get these as a means of not using them to keep others out?
It has certainly been, I think, considered, and that's where the anti-speculative language probably comes in from the department's perspective, as well as there is language, and Deirdre will refresh my memory. I don't have it exactly right off the top of my head, but I believe there's language in the statute that requires that a lease be used for aquaculture. So if it's granted but not used, then the department has the right to revoke that lease, as they should.
Yeah, but it doesn't state how to the extent that it would be used.
I'm going to defer to Deirdre on that because my memory is foggy on this.
Just curiosity question from those that are on the other side. That's all.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see no other questions for you, Mr. Bell. Thanks for your testimony.
Thank you very much for your thoughtful questions, everybody.
And can you bring in Crystal Canny, please? She didn't get registered in time, but she's here.
And she's in, Senator.
We will let her speak, neither for nor against. Welcome.
Thank you, Senator. Good morning, Senator Miramont, Representative McCrate, and members of the Joint Standing Committee of Marine Resources. My name is Crystal Canny, and I am the Executive Director of Protect Maine's Fishing Heritage Foundation. I'm here to testify neither for nor against LD 1884. The recognition by the Department of Marine Resources that not all aquaculture is the same is an important step that should be recognized. By proposing a greater fee, if greater state costs are incurred during the application process due to the complexity of a lease, it logically follows that those costs shouldn't be passed on to taxpayers, but rather to the applicant themselves. I am concerned, as I expressed during a conversation with DMR yesterday, that this bill needs more work around definition. On that point, I agree with the MAA. It reminds me of the lease standard unreasonable interference, which is subjective and gives any commissioner zero direction in approving leases. The same could be said here, that there needs to be definition and criteria around how this will be applied and not left to the commissioner of the moment. Due to the very real and substantially growing conflicts on the coast and some perception, rightly or wrongly, that the department is quick to approve leases because of politics or relationships, defining this might help take care of some of that negative argument. It would at least allow people that chance to see it transparently and to see what the criteria are. I think that's hugely important. And I would like to say that, you know, there are those organizations that collect fees based on acreage. So they have every incentive in the world to grow acreage across the state of Maine on our coastline. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kenny. Any questions for Ms. Kenny? Seeing none, thanks for being here.
Thank you for allowing me in, Senator.
Certainly. Okay, that's all I have for folks testifying on 1844. So, unless Linda has any, nope, that closes the work session on 1844.